can begin again. Turn to the neighbor on the other side and say, you can begin again. Turn to somebody behind you and say, you can begin again. Tap somebody on the shoulder in front of you. Whisper in the ear and say, you can begin again. Wow. This is really something, because I had no idea that this couple was going to be leaving today. So just so you know, I'm not making this up. Huh? What's the title say? You can begin again. This may just be for you. We're just all looking in, watching. Because sometimes we don't, when somebody changes course, man, that's scary, man. I mean, we know we got Jesus and all that, but all the natural stuff he was talking about, those have to be worked out. And us watching you do it is going to give us encouragement to do what Christ has asked us to do. That's what that's going to do, see? So you can begin again. Thank you, Lord. I love this kind of stuff, man. When you just come and give a nice little message and then leave. No, this is pertinent. This is pertinent. So what the enemy does, and you probably attest to this, he always comes to try to keep you from getting back up. That's his gig. Once you fall, baby, that's it. He wants you to stay down. But we forget whose foot is on whose neck. Hello? We forgot that, didn't we? Hello? So I'm just saying, when you fall, Proverbs says it the best. A righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises again. That's us. That's us. So what I'm taking is, I'm going to give you scripture, of course. Psalms 23 will be our base. I'm going to give you some stories out of the Bible, and then I'm going to give you some testimony. So that's how we're going to roll this last 30 minutes. So if you got something to write, if you want to do it on your telephone, that'd be cool. It's 3 things. We go throughout the country, and there's 3 things that we see that people are struggling with as far as trying to get back up and get going again. And I'll start with saying that the Lord is my shepherd. That's the first verse in that Psalms 23. And Pastor will attest to this. A shepherd is kind of like a coach. You know, if you got a good coach, oh, man, the team is kicking. You know, of course, individuals, we got to put in the work, but the coach is really important. And I think with JC, we have got the best coach on the planet, the best coach. And we got the best playbook. All the moves we need to make for life in that book. Great playbook. So the Lord is our shepherd. So where you can begin again, the first place is spiritually. You can begin again spiritually. I know this because in Luke 15, a youngster decided he wanted to go somewhere and go crazy for a minute. And he did. He went crazy for a minute, maybe almost to the point of eating pig's food. And he ran back home to his dad. He said, you know, he had this confession to say to his dad. But the dad is like Jesus. He heard the confession, but the daddy said, quick, go get the robe. That represents righteousness. That covers his sins. That's what the robe does. Go get that ring. Ring says you have authority back in the family again. Go get them sandals, because this boy had lost his way. And I really believe the sandals had something to do with his purpose, getting him lined back up with his life again. And he didn't say, you know, like most people, you do something and you see people rolling their eyes. Soon as you come back from your sin and you confess, but they just roll in their eyes. I'm so glad Jesus don't roll his eyes or put his thing here and snap. I'm so glad. Serious, man, because I'd be in a lot of trouble. I'd be getting a lot of snapping and a lot of hip stuff. But Jesus is just, it's a prototype. The daddy is a prototype. And he said, quick, so as soon as you ask for forgiveness, bam, it's done. It's not like, okay, well, you know you did this yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know you did this last night. Last week, mm-hmm. He ain't rolling like that. Jesus quickly forgives you, quickly. Of course, with me, I didn't even think I was savable. I mean, I was just like, I got to a point, especially in music, man, that's you get released into a lifestyle that is unbelievable. It's you can't even imagine, because the pastor can, but it's hard to even imagine all the love and the gifts and the money and the places you go, hotels and places you fly and all over the world. You can't even, it's hard to even imagine all that and try to stay sane, right? that's a hard thing to do. But I was dating a girl in San Francisco as soon as I joined the Santana group, and her brother just so happened to be a Christian. So every time I come to the house to see her, here comes the brother.
Well, the Lord wants you to be saved.
I said, man, you ought to see my bank account. I'm already saved. He said, no, but triple things should pass away. I said, yeah, but they're cool for right now. I mean, I would give him such a bad time. And it seemed like every time I come to the house, he's like the butler. He's at the front door from the moment I hit. Even in San Francisco, you can go underneath. There's a basement. You can go underneath, and you can come in the back door. There's a brother at the back door. What? So I just decided, you know what I'm going to do? I said, I'm going to go to a Bible study. I figure if I go to a Bible study, maybe I can learn some scripture. And then I could just, when I come over to the house, I just quote him some scripture, step on around him, and go see the sister. Man, I got to this Bible study. Woo! Up one side, down the other. I mean, I'm really thinking as we leave this Bible study. We get back to his driveway. He said, well, how'd you like the meeting? I said, it was good. I said, let's go in the house. He said, well, I said, what? He said, well, how would you like to be saved? I said, man, I can't be saved. I'd probably mess up the whole kingdom. He said, no, you won't. He said, pray with me. You'll see. God will make a change in your life. I said, this I got to see. So, you know, it's funny, man, because we're right on the corner of Haight and Ashbury, right? So you know what kind of smell is going through that area with my top down in the car. And so I knew from Sunday school, do this much, right? But then I felt his hand coming up my arm. And I said, hey, man, what you doing? He said, well, as Christians, we hold hands when we pray. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, it wasn't weird. It's just, I knew in San Francisco, but it wasn't weird. I just knew that, I just had never held a guy's hand before. That was just for me. That was just a little different. So, but anyway, I said, okay, come on, let's pray. I got my eyes open. I said, come on, let's pray. He said, Lord, I said, Lord, Jesus, come into my life, and make me new. And man, even in this funny position, this is so weird, man. It was just like I felt all the stuff fall off. I jumped out of that car, and back in the day, we had the Toyota commercial. You'd go, oh, what a feeling. But but that's how I felt, man. I ran in the house, and I started writing songs. They just started coming out of me. And I said, man, God is real. Jesus is real. For real, he's for real. I went back to the Santana group. I could not keep my mouth shut. Every time I opened my mouth, they do just like this, because they knew I was coming with some gospel, you know. But all I know is that God can make a change in a life. He can, you can begin, I don't care what you've done, you can begin again spiritually. Turn to somebody and say, you can begin again. Okay, so the second one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's another version, shall not be in want. And when I thought about this and talking to all the people around the country, financially, you can begin again financially. Boy, if this ain't for y'all, I don't know what's up. And it's just one of those things. It's like, well, Lord, I got fired from my job. And, you know, they put two younger people in that place and they're paying them half the money. I'm out of a job. What should I do? Well, maybe God's got a better job for you. Huh? Maybe you're supposed to start your own business, pastor, on the side. Of course, don't quit your job. But, you know, you're supposed to start something that you know God has been telling you. This is what he wants you to do. And you've been sitting on your procrastination and just, you know what I'm saying? And God wants you to get on with this thing. Some of you got some great writing gifts. Some of you could sing. Some of you have administrative gifts. And you're sitting on them. And God is saying, maybe this is the time. These two are getting ready to go and take a chance. See what God has got for them.
Okay, so you say, okay, well, that's very good and fine and everything. But, you know, how am I going to, there's something in Scripture that talks about somebody that went through some stuff. Yeah,
Joseph. Joseph went through some stuff, man. He went through some stuff. And he was, you know, and of course we are, it's kind of like a prototype. You know, daddy liked him, the brothers hated him. But he had 11 brothers. But daddy made him this robe, this beautiful robe. And, you know, I think what happened, he had to go check on his brothers one time. And he rolled up on them in this robe. I think that's what messed him up. That did it. Because you know how it is. You get something that's kind of nice. You get some new jeans. You get a new ring or some little pink thing or whatever, like your hair done. You like that. You can't walk straight. How you going to walk straight? You got this new something. And this brother, I'm sure when he rolled up on them, he wasn't walking like this.
Hi, guys. Hello there.
No. He had to have a little swagger. I bet you he rolled up like this. Ain't no way in that robe. You can't just walk straight in a robe like that. And them brothers say, you know what? You're out of here. So they sold him. Ishmaelites were going to Egypt. So he ends up at Potiphar's house. But this brother had a gift, man. He had this, I'm telling you, got some stuff. He had an administrative gift. And he had God's anointing as well. I mean, that's double, man. That was so cool for that to happen. Ran Potiphar's house. Man, Potiphar didn't have to worry about nothing. But the only thing that was wrong is that Potiphar's wife had the hots for Joseph. And so she just could not leave him alone. He was just like, man, dude, you just let me do my work. I got to do my work. So finally she approached him one day. And, you know, of course, you know, the strip got flipped around. So anyway, but I'm just saying that, you know, she said he was hitting on her. So it didn't happen. Ended up in jail. But can you imagine what he's thinking this whole time? He's saying, now, in a dream, I saw my family bowing down to me. I saw my 11 brothers. I saw all of them bowing down to me. He said, when is that going to happen? But you know what? In jail, he didn't stop with his administrative gift. He just kept on kicking. That's what I love about it, man. When you're going through some stuff, still do what God has asked you to do. Don't care about the circumstances, situation. I know this is not perfect. I know this is quite ain't right over here, but you know what? God's asked me to use my gift. That's what I'm going to do. This brother used his gift and ended up being the head jailer, running the whole place. And then, you know, of course, the wine taster and the baker came and he interpreted their dreams, went back, and wine taster forgot to tell Pharaoh that somebody can interpret dreams. 2 years later, Pharaoh has his dream, and boom. He said, oh, wow, yeah, this guy in jail. Yeah, I got to bring him up. So he came up and interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. So you have 7 good years, you're going to have 7 bad years. And I love how he gave himself a job application. It was just so cool.
He said, now what you should do is that, you know, you need to do this for 7 years. You need to put stock over, you need to put these over here, and then put that, like, and then he just kind of smiled like that. And then Pharaoh said, man, I don't know who else can run this place like that. Why don't you be VP? Come on, you handle this for me. And that's exactly what happened. Now, think about this. He's sold into slavery at 17. He becomes VP at 30. Then there's 7 good years. So that's at least 37 years old, right? And then the bad years start. Now, I don't know where in there the family came. Was it the first year, second year? But he had to be close to 40. By the time this whole thing, the family comes and bows. So I'm just saying there may be certain things that you're going through. You say, well, Lord, you ain't showed up yet. Oh, Lord, you ain't showed up yet. Okay, Lord, you ain't showed up yet. He's coming. You just have to stay on the road of your assignment. Whatever God has told you to do, stay on that road. And you will intersect opportunity. Opportunity will come. You will intersect it. You will see that it's God. When this couple goes and starts writing you back some of the things that's going to happen in their life, it's going to blow your mind. You're going to say, there's nobody but
done that. How could that intersection happen at that exact point in time? It's going to happen for them. They're going to text you. They're going to email you and let you know what God is doing in their life. And it will encourage you to get up off of your procrastination and go do what God has asked you to do. You can begin again financially. Testimony. I had the same thing happen to me. Bill Graham was our manager. Bill's the one that did Woodstock. And I knew that at some point I had to leave the group. I mean, I knew I couldn't stay with the band. I just kept feeling like these two. I had to go. So I said, well, Lord, what should I do? He said, well, go tell Bill you quit. I said, just like that. So I said, okay. So I went over to Bill. I said, look, man, I never heard Bill speak English. Everything he said was in four letters. I mean, everything he said all the time, every other word. So I said, man, when I go and tell him this, I'm going to get a barrage of language. But anyway, I told him, I said, Bill, look, I really feel like God is calling me into ministry, and I have to quit the group.
He said, well, Leon, well, we figured this would happen. You've been pretty religious around here. What we decided to do, we're going to give you double your income.
I said, double my income? I said, well, look, let me go home and pray about this. What's happening? Let me just make sure this is God, you know. So I got home, prayed and read, get out the group. Somewhere I said, Bill, I feel like the Lord's calling me into ministry. I got to get out.
He said, well, we figured something like this would happen. Now, we decided we're going to give you triple your income. I said, oh, man, triple my income. I said, well, look, let me go home and pray about this one more time. So I went home, prayed, same thing. I said, Bill, I got to get out of the group. He said, well, Leon, what about four times your income? Whew. So I didn't have to go all the way home this time. I figured I'm going to take my Bible, I'm going to go out to my car, I'm going to stick my hand in that Bible, and whatever scripture I come to, I'm going to take that as a word from you, oh, Lord. See, y'all done tried that too. Yeah, I know, see. And so, I did. I said, well, okay, well, this is, where is this? Okay, now this has got to be Old Testament right here. Yeah, Deuteronomy 28. so I mean, the star of the sky, that's how much money you're going to have. I'm trying to find. Didn't know my Bible's upside down, but I'm trying to find it. So I get here, I say, okay, there it is. And Judas went out and hung himself. Oh, man. I said, well, I guess I'm supposed to get out the group. I can't tell you what I went through, the changes I went through. First, I had to get rid of the Mercedes. Get rid of that and get a Honda. I mean, nothing wrong with Honda. But I kept saying, Lord, why? I can't go up to Smokey Robinson's house in no Honda. I want my Mercedes, man. And he just kept telling me, no, this is something you guys, a season you got to go through, and you got to let go of some of this stuff. And I know how it is with some of us, man. You know, when we get a little, I think we act a little funny when money comes. You know, you notice yourself like that? You get a little inheritance, a little something, and then, you know, everything changes with your talk. You don't even talk the same. You kind of change. You look around this way, and you give these and thousands of wherefores, and look that way, and say these and thousands of wherefores. And you pull back like that. People come to the church, you don't even give them a real hug. You give them a 1-2, and you back up. 1-2. That's it. But, baby, look, when the money's funny and you down here, them prayers change down here. There is no these and thous and wherefores down here. Ain't none down here but, help! Get me out of this mess. I'll never do it again. Just let me come down. You know? Yeah, so I'm just saying, you know, and if you really think about it, them Hebrew boys that got thrown into the fire, they got thrown in, roped up, chained up. But after they came out, they were free. So a lot of times you go through some fire, and anybody you getting burned up, it may be just to cut that bondage. You ever thought about that? Because you always say, oh, God sent me. I had Satan, he sent me. I got horns. That could be God sending you through the fire so that the other stuff that's been hanging you up all your life gets burned away. So he turns all things toward the good. That's just how our God is. He causes all things to work together for good. All right? So you can begin again financially. Third and last, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me
beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I hear this all over the country. You can begin again romantically.
Oh, brother, now you hit the wrong nerve right there. I can't start over. You know I got five kids. Who gonna want somebody with five kids?
Do you know there's a brother praying right now for a woman with five kids? They're at the next church right down the street. Looking for you, waiting for you. And you say, well, man, I got all these kids. I can't. Man, I'm telling you, I know single is cool, too. But, man, you got more to offer when you got more kids. There's something about that. Huh? Because he gets you and a foster home ministry, too. So it's just, I'm just saying this because I have a friend, Javier, who's in Newport Beach at Joe's Crab Shack. And same thing. He went through a divorce and stuff. He's wondering, can I get my life back together? We got to praying and talking. He went to Columbia, found him a good Christian woman with six kids. Six kids. He brought her back. They got married. Now they got a seventh child and a mother-in-law. Yeah, he told me that. He said, man, I don't know, when I was a bachelor, he said, I could not keep food in the fridge. He said, but I got these seven people and a mother-in-law, and guess what? My fridge is always full. It's a miracle. So I'm just saying that, you know, there, and I'm telling you, I travel through. We just got back from the Philippines. Same thing. We just got back a couple months ago. They have the same kind of issues. These three things are what they're trying to get back up and get going again. And a lot of them are remarrying. I had so many couples after I got through the mess come up to me and say, oh, yeah, our husband died and his wife died and we found each other at church, you know, after 50 years and I'm getting married. It's like, serious? And they look like teenagers, some of them. They like skipping along, you know, like this. It's just great. So I'm saying this. Okay, so you say, well, okay, my brother, I know you gave me scripture and everything. Give me a scripture for this one. Have you read the book of Ruth? You got to reread that book, man. It's romance like crazy. If you read it in the easy reading version, it's like a novel. It's not like the Kardashians or something. I mean, it's like, no, serious. It's some fairy tales, kind of crazy stuff in there. Okay, Naomi, I'm trying to do this quick. Naomi and her husband, remember they were having a problem in Bethlehem, no money, so they said they would go down to Moab, we'll get some money because they got money down there. So they went down, took the two sons, they got married and all that kind of thing. Then the sons died and the daddy died. And said, Naomi said, I'm going back home. I'm going back. And Ruth said, well, I'm coming with you. He said, well, no, you go back. No, girl, wherever you go, that's where I'm going. Wherever you going to have a house, that's where it's going to be my house. Whatever you eat, whatever God you're serving, I'm going to serve that. Wherever you die, I want to be buried right there. So this is, Ruth was just like, okay, cool, I'm hanging with you. Naomi said, well, look, we're here in Bethlehem now. Why don't you, girl, you're young, why don't you go out and, you know, find you a job and go hang out somewhere and socialize like that. And Ruth found her a great spot to work. And she ran into this guy named Boaz. So she got back home, and she had two Santa's bags full of food. And Naomi wanted to know right away, where'd you get that? He said, well, Boaz, that's my husband's relative, girl. How does he look? I said, well, you know, he's got some around on the side, not too much on the top, but got a good heart. Of course, I'm making that up, of course. You won't find that in Scripture. But I'm just saying, you know, so right away, Naomi started thinking, man. She said, well, good. Naomi set Ruth up. I'd read it, man. I'm telling you, even in the these and thousands wherefores, you can still get this out of it. You will read this in there. Just like, she said, well, what should I do? She said, well, girl, you go in there and take a nice little shower. Mm-hmm. Put on a nice little perfume. Uh-huh. And then you put on this nice little thing. Not too tight, not too loose. Just nice enough. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to go slide up next to Boaz's feet, just like that. And then in the middle of the night, he'll tell you what he wants you to do. So Boaz, what is this about him up here? So and you know what she says in the easy reading version? I'm available for marriage. Boy, that's hard to explain in counseling. She hit? No, wait a minute. You mean she hit on him? Wait, how am I explaining it?
Well, that's a nice chandelier up there. Isn't that a nice chandelier? Okay, let us pray.
No, but I mean, you know, it's a hard one to explain. But that's what went down. And boy said, well, let me go. I got another relative ahead, but let me go work with him, see what can happen. Do you know they got married? Their son is named Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of King David. That's the line that Jesus comes through. Through a Moabite woman? Do you know where the Moabites come from?
Oh, Lord.
I'm not even tell you. I want you to go look that up for yourself. See what the Ammonites and the Moabites, where they come from. It's raw, man. It's pretty raw. That Jesus would allow himself to come through this kind of family line and Rahab and all that. I mean, it's some, you think you something off, can't do bad, The Lord, I think he does this on purpose. We was talking about this yesterday, Pastor. He just uses some of these people. There's just no way anything could actually happen unless it's God. Gotta be God. It's gotta be the Lord. So I'm saying to you, you can begin again romantically. I'd love to tell you about my whole story, but Renee and I met on a cruise 25 years ago, and I had never even been around a Filipino person at all in my whole life. I never had a Filipino friend. And all of a sudden, we run into each other. I'm on the road of my assignment. I'm working because I had, mom and dad had foster kids in the home. And then when I left Santana, the first thing I wanted to do was work with some foster kids. Over 20 years or something, I worked with foster kids out of Sacramento, corner near foster home. Got here to this city 6 years ago. Y'all got the highest dropout rate in the whole country is here in Vegas. So I was telling Pastor yesterday, we throwing our arms around these kids here in this city. Just to love on them, I'm taking them, doing concerts with them, and, you know, I'm training them, we're mentoring them. And one girl, we brought her to a church to sing with me, and we had ministering that day, but we had a pastor come and give a message, and the girl gets saved. And then we go do Pastor Kent's church the next month, and the daddy comes, he gets saved at Pastor Kent's church. So it was just a mind blow for me to see, and I'm not trying to push these kids, rush them. I'm spending time with them. We're talking through scripture. We're talking about the lyrics and the songs, that sort of thing. So it really is a cute ministry. And Subaru jumped in and said, man, whatever you're doing, we're going to help out. So they help us with all kind of publicity and all kind of anything we want to do in this city. So anyway, I just see God doing some wonderful things. But I just really believe that this day is a special day. I think it's special because of these two. And I had no idea they were going to get up and make that announcement today. And probably a lot of y'all didn't know that as well. But I'm telling you, you can begin again. God has got something in store for you that is remarkable. And it's not going to be, it's going to be a little scary maybe at first. But once you start doing it, you're going to see his love and his blessings come on you like never before. The timing of how he's going to use you in a certain environment is going to blow your mind. God has got something up his sleeve. You just have to say, Lord, I'm going to begin again. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I said, I shall not want. Come on. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valleys and the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life,